drive into summer with the Honda CR-V and Accord, your fun-to-drive, weekend getaway vehicles. From Honda, the 2024 Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com Best Value brand. So hurry in to the Honda Summer Event. For a limited time, well-qualified buyers can get a 2.9% APR on a 2025 CR-V or 2024 Accord.
Contact your local Washington area Honda dealer today.
See dealer for financing details based on 2024 Consumer Choice Awards from Kelley Blue Book. Visit KBB.com for more information.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, this is The Advisor with Stacey Chalemi, founder of The Complete Herbal Guide. And today I'm very excited because we have Erwin Strommeyer. He is a credentialed and experienced professional in the field of public infection control and germ eradication, and a leader in public or community-acquired infection prevention services. He has the technology to signify reduced the survival of invasive microbes in any space or facility. Most of these microbes are transported from the surface to surface by humans, and especially by human hands. And so he's here to tell us a little about himself and the stuff he does and to educate us on germs and prevention of germs and viruses. So Erwin, we are very happy to have you here. And can you tell us a little about yourself and what you do?
First of all, Stacey, thank you for having me on today. I truly appreciate the opportunity to spread good information about how not to get sick.
Yes.
My company is Sterile Space Infection Defense. It's also known as the Germ Police. And as I do like to tell people, never fear, the Germ Police are here. And what we do is we work with basically any kind of facility, residence, where we go in and we do a full decontamination of all the surfaces, equipment, and fixtures, then a terminal disinfection of all the high frequency touch points. And then we finish off with a long-term antimicrobial coating, which helps significantly reduce the survival of germs on surfaces. And we take that entire encompassing picture and call it our Healthy Zone service, and we warranty our services to be effective for a year.
That's excellent. You know, I think people don't realize, you know, the danger of germs and infections because, you know, I caught encephalitis, you know, and my father swears it's because I picked up a dirty balloon and I put it in my mouth. And then I came down with a virus and I came down with an ear infection. And then it's just the virus kind of turned into encephalitis, which turned into epilepsy. And then, you know, I know many people that have, you know, have touched things like gone to like arcades and things like that. And they've gone out of those arcades and, you know, they come down with something, you know, overnight and they, you know, I don't understand, you know, I must've got sick. I must've stood around somebody that got sick. Well, you could also get sick because you touch something, you know, someone wipes their nose and they put their hand on the machine and then you put your hand on the machine. And also, I'm sorry to inject, but just one more thing. You know, our sink has over 5,000 germs in it, and we don't even realize that. We think that the toilet is the most area with the most germs. It's actually the kitchen sink. So give us your intake about germs and viruses and how people need to be more aware of, you know, the dangers of it.
I'd be happy to. First of all, according to the Centers for Disease Control, these are the germ bus. And the reason they are called the germ bus is because every time we touch a surface, we pick up whatever germs have been left there by everybody else who touched that surface. And if somebody has the flu, well, there's probably some flu germs there. And if they have the common cold, they probably have that. And if they have encephalitis, that might be there too.
Right.
Think about from the time you leave the house in the morning, because your house is filled with all your own germs and stuff like that, but there are still new ones that come in every day. But when you leave the house every morning, how many people stop at their favorite place to get a cup of coffee in the newspaper?
Right.
Okay. And so you walk into a snack shop or a coffee shop or whatever, you grab that door handle that 400 other people just this morning touched.
Yes.
Count everybody from yesterday and last week and last month, okay? Now you've got those germs on your hand, okay? Maybe you sneeze, you've touched your face, all right? Maybe you have a little itch, you've touched your eye. Maybe you feel a little something in the corner of your mouth, you go like this, okay? And like you said, a lot of people do that. So the first thing to realize is how often you get sick by what is called cross-contamination infection. And what that means is somebody with one of these moved germs from this item to that item that you touched and touched your face. People don't realize this, but you get sick approximately 80% of the time by touching a surface that's contaminated and touching your eyes, nose, or mouth.
Right.
Now, here's a question for you. How many times a day do you think you touch your face?
Oh, I would say over 100 times, not even realizing it.
It's a few more than that. Because,
really?
Yeah, because let's say you do one of these and one of these and one of these. That's three.
Mm-hmm.
The average person touches their face 3 times a minute.
Wow.
Okay. And in an 8-hour period, I believe it is, that's like over 2,400 times in an 8-hour day.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. So now you've gotten your paper, you've gotten your donut, you've gotten your coffee, you're headed to the office. You've got the front door of the building of the office.
Yeah.
You've got the elevator button.
Right.
Or the railing going up the stairs.
Yeah. Right,
the doorknob to get into the stairwell. Okay. The door on the office. Okay. You put your stuff on your desk. Maybe you want to go use the restroom. You touch all those doorknobs again. You go into the restroom. And hopefully people are washing their hands. I have some really scary statistics on hand washing, but I won't get into that at the moment. So anyway, one thing that people don't realize is how fast germs multiply, okay?
Yeah.
And germs multiply, well, let's talk about bacteria. It's the easiest one to understand. Bacteria goes through something called mitosis about every 20 minutes. And what that means is that a single bacteria cell approximately every 20 minutes goes like this. And every 20 minutes. So in about a 10-hour day, a single E. coli cell. Now, you know what E. coli is, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's at the tail end. So a single E. coli cell in about 10 hours becomes somewhere over 12 million.
Wow. Now, just give a brief description of what E. coli is for someone that doesn't understand, just like a sentence or two.
Okay. E. coli is basically the bacterial cellular formation of feces or poop.
Okay, go ahead.
And the thing is, you know, germs are so microscopically small that I don't even think you can see them with Superman's vision, okay? Mm-hmm. And you don't realize how many are on a surface. And just because you walk into a place that looks clean and smells clean does not mean it is biologically clean.
Right, exactly.
Okay? Mm-hmm. And what a lot of people misunderstand is they think that, you know, spraying some Windex or some 409 and wiping a surface with a paper towel and misting it with you know, something like Lysol or any other commercial brand of disinfectant, it's clean, it's disinfected, it's absolutely safe.
Right.
Wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Simply because, like I said, you can't see all the germs.
Right.
Right. You don't know what you've missed. And most people don't even know the right way to use a disinfectant.
Yeah.
And this is critically important that your listeners and viewers hear, because this is really the crux of the problem. If you pick up any commercially made disinfectant and you read it somewhere in the second or third paragraph on the back of the can or the bottle or whatever, is a sentence that says surface must remain visibly wet for X number of minutes. Now, depending on the product and how strong it is, it could be 3 minutes, could be 5 minutes, could be 10 minutes, whatever it is.
Right.
But the way most people use a disinfectant is like this. That's not going to do jack.
Yeah.
What visibly wet means is like that.
Okay.
Listeningly wet.
Yes.
Okay. And that was alcohol, by the way. So it'll kill the germs on my hands. So anyways, the problem is, if I said to you, I want you to go out on the internet, I want you to research the best disinfectant that you can find. I don't care what it costs. I will pay for it.
Right.
And I want you to take it and I want you to use it in your studio, in your home, whatever. If you apply it according to the directions,
mm-hmm.
the best disinfectant in the world, how long will it kill germs for? An hour, a day, a week, or a month? Which one?
An hour.
Nope.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You got three other choices.
So the best disinfectant, how long?
The best disinfectant in the world, chosen by God, let's say. just for a little fun there, okay?
Mm-hmm. And you said what, an hour?
An hour is wrong.
Okay, and what was the other three choices? A month?
Day, week, or a month?
The best disinfectant, maybe a week.
It's a trick question. All the answers are wrong.
Oh, really?
As soon as it dries or evaporates, remember how wet my hand looked?
Yes.
As soon as it dries or evaporates, or is wiped up in most cases, it's gone. There's no more killing after that. So yes, you may have cleaned the surface with like 409 or whatever. And
yeah.
Got it nice and you did get a lot of the germs off with that, okay?
Yeah.
And then you sprayed the disinfectant and used it the right way. As soon as it's all gone through evaporation or drying, there is no more killing going on. Yes, the surface is clean. Yes, the surface is germ-free for the moment, but the first person to come by and touch or cough or sneeze on that surface has deposited microbes, which will start colonizing that surface.
Okay, I'll give you an example. Makes sense.
I went into a child care center not all that long ago, and I was trying to basically sell them my services, explain to them why it was important, and they thought it was important. And I told them I can take the same germ quantity meter, or what's called an ATP meter, mm-hmm. and swab the surfaces and be able to tell them within 15 seconds how biologically clean those surfaces are. Okay.
Right.
I said, pick a surface that you've recently cleaned. And they took me into the infant room. And they said, well, we just cleaned this whole changing table and disinfected it and everything and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
I said, okay, I took the swab. And I ran it around the top edge of the three sidewalls,
right.
Rubbed it on the cushion that the child laid on, and rubbed it on the little cabinet handles to get out the wipes and to get out a fresh diaper and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest. Life comes at you fast, which is why it's important to find some time to relax. A little you time. Enter Chumba Casino. With no download required, you can jump on anytime, anywhere for the chance to redeem some serious prizes. So treat yourself with Chumba Casino and play over 100 online casino-style games, all for free. Go to ChumbaCasino.com to collect your free welcome bonus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.
The meter will tell you the surface is biologically safe with a reading of 80 or below, all right?
Right.
This one came up with a reading of 1,297.
Wow.
And this was minutes after they say they cleaned it and disinfected it. So then I said, let me show you something. I had a microfiber towel, the disinfectant-based cleaner that we used, sprayed it on. Rub down those rail edges, rub down those handles, wipe down the cushion that the baby lays on, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then I tested it again. The reading was under 30.
Wow, that's impressive.
And that's because, well, let me ask you a question. Do you clean your own home?
I have people come in and help me.
Okay, but have you ever cleaned your own home?
Oh, of course, yes.
Okay, how did you learn? Maybe by watching mom?
Watching mom, yeah.
All right. Do you have any brothers?
No, only child.
Okay. Well, I'm sure you have male friends, and they probably learned to shave the same way I did by watching my dad.
Right.
Now, learning to shave isn't quite as important in infection control as learning how to clean properly.
Right.
Okay? But believe it or not, there is a methodology to cleaning, which is almost a science to make sure that it's done right. But good quality cleaning or decontaminating,
mm-hmm.
a good broad spectrum disinfectant, and then an antimicrobial coating. And the beauty about the antimicrobial coating is that, especially the one we use, if you could see it on a microscopic level, it would look like little swords standing up on a surface like this.
Right.
So that when a cell comes down on that surface, it is impaled on the coating as if it fell down on swords.
Right.
And that coating has a charge to it, which as the cell that has landed on it comes down the shaft, the blade of the sword, hits this nitrogen atom and is electrocuted. So it keeps the the survival rate of all kinds of cells, healthy cells, infected cells, all kinds of cells. It keeps that survival rate extremely low.
Right.
Now, we have tested surfaces that we have gone in and done the full service to and come back a month later when we tested it before we did anything to it. The surface might be like the one I just told you about, 1290 or whatever it was.
Right.
Okay. We come back 30, 60, 90 days later. We test that same surface. It's usually well below 60.
Wow. That's very impressive.
And all they really, what it does is it helps. This service not only seriously reduces the survival of infectious germs.
Yeah.
Okay. But it also makes it easier once we've been there and we've done our decontamination, our disinfection, and our antimicrobial coating. It makes it exponentially easier for the people in that space to keep that space clean.
Right.
Because A, everything's been taken away by us.
Yeah. Okay?
The surfaces have been protected by us. And unless somebody like throws up or has a bloody nose or something like that all over a surface, you really just need a spray bottle of a decent cleaner and a clean, and I prefer microfiber because it really picks up everything. Microfiber rag or towel, and it doesn't harm the coating, and everything is hunky-dory. It stays low. There's very little colonization, if any, okay? And just to give you an idea of how easy it is for people to get sick in any environment.
Right.
All right. If you take E. coli as an example, and there's E. coli everywhere, unfortunately.
Right.
But it only takes about 10 E. coli cells for you to get sick from E. coli.
Yes.
Okay. Now, how big is 10 E. coli cells? It's minuscule.
Yeah.
But the thing is this, if you were to take, you know, a shirt pin from a shirt that you bought in the store, take the pin out and just scratch the surface of, let's say, a Formica table with it.
Right.
1 inch long scratch.
Okay? Right.
And you took E. coli cells and you line them up end to end, not side by side, so you get a, but end to end along an inch, you get about 12,000 of them in there.
Okay? Wow. That's impressive.
In an eighth of an inch, or no, maybe it's a 16th of an inch, there are enough E. coli cells in that scratch in a 16th of an inch to potentially send 80 people to the hospital.
Wow.
They're small. Germs in general are small, and some of them are very deadly.
Yeah.
Okay. One of the problems we have in our society today is for hundreds of years, we've just accepted if you get a cold, you're going to have it for a week or two.
Right.
If you get the flu, you're going to be out for a couple of days at least. Okay. If you get bronchitis, you're going to have to probably get an inhaler and stay home for a few days.
Yeah.
And it hasn't been until this pandemic has occurred that some people got their eyes opened to how easily we can get sick or worse.
Right.
And I will tell you that even though I've been doing this business for just about 10 years now, 9+ years, until the pandemic came around, I would spend 9 months a year trying to explain to people why we are not a cleaning company.
Right.
What they do, they don't do what we do, even if they say they do COVID-19 cleaning and disinfection.
Right.
The thing is that because we've taken such a lax approach over the decades and centuries, all right, a lot of people were like, oh, it's just another flu. It's, you know, of course, it didn't help that there was a lot of political BS.
Yeah.
But that's a whole separate story. I would like to think that as a species, and not just here in the US, but globally, that we've had our eyes opened.
Right.
All right. Maybe a cold bucket of water poured down our back over this. Because this is really serious stuff.
It is.
Now, I know that you mentioned you wanted to discuss the pandemic. So please, by all means, ask whatever questions you like.
Well, yes. You know, in our society, there was a lot of controversy. People don't understand that, you know, I'm not trying to share my opinion, but, you know, there was a lot of people saying one thing and there was a lot of people saying another thing. Some people said, you know, it's too soon. They didn't do enough of testing. You know, people were afraid they might get hurt. They, you know, that if they take the vaccine, things might occur in the future, you know, and they might have, you know, medical problems because of the vaccine. But then, you know, technology has changed as well. well. And, you know, when we got the polio shot, or we got, you know, shots when we were young children, they didn't have the technologies that we have now. They couldn't test it. So the testing period took a long time for them because they didn't have the technologies.
This
and, you know, when we do have vaccines, vaccines don't prevent us from getting it. They lower the chances, and they also lower the chances of us becoming as ill as we would have been if we weren't vaccinated. And then people also thought that, we were injecting, the vaccine was injecting the virus in us, and they didn't realize that it was not, it was a T protein in the virus that, you know, made us think that the virus was in us, and then it created, you know, a protection. And so there was a lot of things. And then some, you know, the young kids, you know, on the internet, a lot of them were coming up to me and they're saying, well, I heard that it can make you infertile. I want to have children when I grow up. You know, a lot of the college kids and the teens, you know, and they were afraid, you know, that it was going to make them infertile. So there was so many different things going on. And it was a lot of the stuff on the internet, especially. And they didn't understand, you know, how important it was to get the vaccine and how it wasn't as dangerous as they thought. So what's your intake about what you thought about the vaccine and the importance or not importance of getting the vaccine?
Well, first of all, this wasn't just an outbreak of some little thing in one little state somewhere in the Midwest. This became a global health emergency.
Yes.
Okay? It was a global health emergency. And the one thing you absolutely should not inject into a conversation about a global health emergency that has proved its existence by appearing in every country around the globe.
Right. But
the one thing you do not inject into that discussion in any way, shape, or form is politics.
Yes.
And unfortunately, when this started to happen, well, when we first started to notice it in the end of February, beginning of March of 2020, okay, the previous administration was like, oh, don't worry, it's no big deal. It'll be gone in a couple of weeks. It's like the flu. You may not even know you have it and all that. And the problem was the doctors were not allowed to talk at first. It was just the head of the administration.
Right, right.
And the thing is, that is where all the political BS was put into this. As well as when you go on the internet and people who think they know what they're talking about.
Right.
Saying, oh no, the government's using it to inject trackers into us to know where we are at all times. Excuse me, you've done that for years by talking on your cell phone.
Exactly.
They know where you are. They know what you're eating. They know who you're talking to. They know if you're saying bad things about other people. Okay. So injecting trackers into us was total BS. And there were other things, like you said, oh, it'll cause infertility. Oh, what do we know about, you know, are we going to grow two heads 10 years from now? the volume of ridiculousness over this, I just wanted to throw up every day. I was like, how can people believe this stuff?
Right.
Come on. All right. I can understand anti-vaxxers, they have their beliefs about things. That's all well and good. And okay. But you know what? If you're going to participate in society, however that be, by sending your children to school, by going to school or work yourself, or by going out to the movies or whatever. Okay.
Ryan Seacrest here. When you have a busy schedule, it's important to maximize your downtime. One of the best ways to do that is by going to ChumbaCasino.com. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino games like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire that you can play for free for a chance to redeem some serious prizes. So hop on to ChumbaCasino.com now and live the Chumba life. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply.
Every day, we rise, challenging ourselves to work for what we believe in. At U.S. Border Patrol, protecting our borders is more than a job. It's a calling. Agents answer the call, working together to keep our country and communities safe. If you are ready for a new mission, join U.S. Border Patrol and go beyond. Learn more at cbp.gov/careers.
This isn't just about you. It's about you. It's about your children, your parents, your aunts, your uncles, your next door neighbors, your friends, your enemies, you know, your colleagues at work. All right. And in the beginning, and I believe that this was the case in the beginning when they said, no, everybody doesn't have to use masks. I feel that that was for two potential reasons. A, they wanted to make sure that the healthcare givers, the doctors, the nurses, the ambulance crews, all of them,
right,
had enough personal protection equipment, all right, to be able to keep themselves safe so that they could treat all of us.
Right.
Okay. The other reason is I think that because nobody alive today, no medical doctor who's 85 years old or older, okay, has ever seen a pandemic before.
Right.
The last one was a little over 100 years ago from today.
Yes.
All right. Yes. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that they did do was they realized that trying to filter out what other people are exhaling,
right,
probably one of the best ways to keep from getting sick. Now, did it take us time? Did it take the medical professionals time to say, hey, wait a minute, don't just tie a bandana across your face. That's not going to filter jack.
Yeah.
Okay. You need to use an N95 or a P100
100%.
Filtered mask. All right. And also do not use the masks that allow you to have your exhale come out through a little vent.
Right.
Because then, yes, you're sort of protecting yourself by what you're not breathing from other people around you. But if you've got it somewhere else, like at home, mm-hmm. and you come to work and you're wearing one of these painter's masks, like that are N95s, they have like a little plastic valve right in front. So when you yes. exhale, it doesn't come up through here and fog your glasses.
Right.
Okay? So they said it's most important to wear a multi-layered N95 or P100 mask to really, because every disease, every infection has what they call a gestation period. That means the time between when you get it to when it fills into your system to when you are able to spread it.
Right, right, right.
And the gestation period is important because for a period of time, right in the beginning, you don't know you have it. You don't know you're sick with it, and you don't know that you can spread it. So the fact that people say, oh, it's a waste of time to wear masks and all this and all that, that is people who don't either have an understanding or have the ability to understand or just don't care about the truth.
Right.
I mean, I have very close friends of mine and even a couple of family members who were like, oh, this is all crap. It's you know, nobody has really died from it. And the thing is, very few people, in the way I understand this, and there are other professionals that would probably challenge me on this, but in essence, when you go around and you don't know that you're spreading an infection, not only are you doing a disservice to yourself, but you're doing a disservice to everybody else around you.
Right.
Okay? And the need to wear an eye covering, wear a mouth and nose covering, wear gloves. I mean, in the beginning of the pandemic, okay, I didn't leave my home without surgical gloves on.
Right.
And a respirator on mm-hmm. and snug-fitting eyewear on. Okay.
Right.
I remember people complaining about, oh, well, you can go to Walmart, but you can't go to church. Why can't we go to church? Their government's trying to control us, you know, and no, don't be silly. Just like the flu in the winter.
Right.
Most people are inside in the winter.
Yeah.
More people are breathing each other's exhale
right.
in a closed environment. You're talking about a lot more germs in a tighter, non-aerated or air-circulated environment.
100%. Yeah.
And that's why they said, okay, let's do the outdoor dining thing. And some people still didn't go out to eat, which is fine. Everybody has to judge what's right for them.
Yeah.
But at the very least, they should follow the general precautions and guidelines of
right.
being intelligent about having to be in an environment like that.
Yes.
So the thing is, do we really know what the vaccines will do to us in 10, 20, 30, 40 years? No, we don't. We
right.
do know from the history of vaccines that, yes, there are people who either, A, they don't really do much for, or people who have nasty adverse reactions to them. Oh, and I wanted to fit this in before the next thing. You were right. They don't actually inject you with the virus.
Exactly.
But they inject you with something that lets your immune system see that this is something we should probably attack. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm sure you remember when you were a child and you went to grade school and you went to the library, they showed you this really cool thing called the card catalog.
Mm-hmm. Yes, right? I remember.
I think the only place one of those exists anymore is in the Smithsonian Institute.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it.
Now we got these things with keys on them and these little rats running around the table. But anyway, so my point is, your immune system, one of the simpler ways to think about how your immune system works is each time your body encounters something that doesn't belong in it, your immune system, in essence, watches it.
Right.
And says, is this a good or a bad thing?
Right.
And then once it determines it's a bad thing, you usually get a fever. Mm-hmm. And that's the body's attempt at raising the temperature to burn out this invading pathogen.
Right.
These invading cells. All right. The other thing it does is it causes you to ramp up your white cells, because those are what also fight infection.
Right.
So now the body has, the immune system has seen this thing, has decided this is something we need to attack and eradicate. And, right. And your body does those things. But your immune system also remembers. So the next time it comes into contact with something that probably looks like whatever that was, boom, it doesn't wait nearly as long to trigger the temperature and trigger the white cells.
Right, right.
It knows, uh-oh, I remember this. This was not a fun time.
Yes.
We have to attack this and eradicate it.
Okay. Yes.
So, yes, it's important to realize how your immune system works. Mm-hmm. It'd be nice if it worked that way for cancer, but we're getting there. We're getting there.
Right.
So what is the next thing you'd like me to comment on, either about the pandemic or about what we do?
Well, I'd like you to start telling people exactly what you do and how it actually can help people, because, you know, as you've concluded that, you know, how severe germs could be and what they could do to the body, you know, they could destroy us, they could kill us, it can put us in the hospital, it can make us very ill, it can change the whole composition of your insides where your body won't function the same anymore because of germs.
Right. And just for a moment, going back to the whole COVID issue, okay. As people would say, oh, nobody really died from COVID. Well, in a majority of the cases, people who had underlying health conditions, had heart issues, had kidney issues, had whatever. The problem with COVID was COVID exacerbated those problems,
yes.
Made them exponentially worse.
Yes.
So they died in most cases from the issues they already had that were kind of like turbocharged and advanced.
Yes.
Because the COVID really hampered your system from being able to do anything.
Yes.
And so if you had, you know, what do you call it?
A heart problem, any type of heart.
Yeah, a heart problem or whatever problem, you know, it would just make it worse. It would make the inflammation of the tissue worse. It would make that worse. You know, it would cause your kidneys to maybe shut down because you had kidney issues. And once your systems start to fail, all right, kind of like dominoes falling.
Right.
It doesn't matter till that energy, which caused the first domino to fall over, gets to the last domino and they're all down and done. Okay.
Yeah.
So now what we do that helps. So as I said earlier, we go into a facility and we go after all the surfaces, all the furniture, all the fixtures, the equipment in cases of childcare centers or schools, the toys. Okay.
Yes.
I have a team, we roll up, we have a mobile decontamination lab that we bring on site with us. Mm-hmm. So in the case of, say, a childcare center, in each room, all the toys are taken out and run through this decontamination lab, okay? Mm-hmm. All the large plastic items, like plastic chairs, or like the little types kitchen sets, or the vanity, or the little Black & Decker, you know, workbench that the kids play with, or the matchbox car, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Comes out and gets decontaminated. The larger plastic items like the chairs and the little type stuff, that all gets pressure washed with a very strong disinfectant-based detergent.
Right.
I have an interior crew that goes in every doorknob and 18 inches around it, every light switch and 18 inches around it, every stairway railing, every faucet handle assembly and sink counter, every check-in counter, every table, underneath the table, especially in childcare, they hide little presents under there and under the edges of the chairs. Okay. The cabinets that things are stored in all get cleaned out, all get decontaminated and disinfected. after all the toys and chairs are done and brought dried off and brought back in, then we go room to room with a specialized electrostatic spray system to apply the antimicrobial in a flooding dose.
Right.
That kind of goes back to that, you know, visibly wet thing I did with my hands.
Yes.
Okay. Some people may say you don't need to put that much down, but it dries quickly anyway. Nobody's there when we're working. And so then all of these surfaces, all of these toys, all of this furniture, all the light switches and doorknobs are protected against every time somebody touches them with one of these.
Right.
Okay. Now, here's how we know we do really well at what we do. I have a number of clients who have reported between a 50% and 70% reduction in infections year over year.
That's excellent.
Because our service is a once a year service. There are other companies that do something kind of sort of similar with a different product. And they say, you know, it's good for 90 days. The thing is, that gets expensive to
yes.
the person receiving the service.
Mm-hmm.
I got my training, I got my education in this through reading everything I could get my hands on from the CDC, the NIH, the WHO. Okay. I've taken courses and gotten certified as an infection control technician. I've taken a course on public infection prevention services. All right. And gotten my accreditation in there. And it was very hard to do, believe it or not, because prior to the pandemic, there was very limited education on infection prevention and control, unless you were an OR nurse and you went to take these courses either at hospitals or there's an association called APIC, which stands for the Association of Professionals in Infection Control and Epidemiology. And but that's a much higher medical level education. You know, you've got to know a lot more science to it.
Right.
But there is a company out there that does courses like this that offers them for hospital personnel, for like surgical center or personnel, doctor's office personnel. Okay. And interestingly enough, because New York State requires you, if you work in a child care center, whether you're the owner, the director, a teacher, an aide, or the person who mops the floor at night,
right,
you must have a minimum course requirement of infection control for child care centers. New York's the only state I know who requires it. I've heard there are other states. I know New Jersey does not, but they may be adopting it soon.
Okay.
And that's important because let's face it. Like I said to you earlier about how did you learn to clean? By watching your mother, maybe by watching whoever she brought in.
Okay. Right.
You know, you didn't learn from a pro, so to speak, or a certificate holding pro.
Right.
I have taken a lot of these types of courses. I got my accreditation for infection control technician in 2015, when the course, I found out about it for the first time. Since then, I've taken numerous courses. Actually, you can see some of my accreditations up here.
Right.
There's even a few more. So I believe that getting educated in what you do is very important. So much
100%.
So that out of my 19-member crew that I have, and I've had them for the last 9 years, I don't think they'd leave if I fired them. But anyway, I take good care of my people. I have required, once I took these courses and believed that they would teach good stuff and the accreditations were worth it, I told my staff, all of you need to take this course and get this accreditation or you can't work for me anymore.
Right.
And I'm going to make it easy because I'll pay for you to take the course.
Right.
So some of my people have just the basic infection control technician certification. Some of them have the public infection prevention certification. And as far as I know, there are no other companies that I know of that offer what I offer and the extent to the way we offer it.
Right.
And I mean, I don't know of any, let's say even a cleaning company that has people that are professionally trained and accredited in cleaning and decontamination.
Right.
But it was interesting. I thought I knew what I was doing when it came to cleaning and decontamination. And when I took a course 3 years ago on it, it was amazing how much I, you know, it's funny because a lot of times the difference between doing an okay job and doing a stellar job is just tweaking your technique a little bit.
Yes.
like a lot of people will spray cleaner on a surface and take a towel and, you know,
yeah,
rub it in circles.
Right.
Think of taking five different colors of finger paint jars and dipping your fingers in them. So you have a little different color on each finger.
Right.
Putting it on a piece of paper and going like this with it.
Right.
You're going to create rainbows of color mixing over.
Right.
Think of each one of those colors as a different germ.
Mm.
Now, when you take something like a microfiber towel, which even dry picks up an incredible amount of stuff.
Right.
But when you take one of those and instead of just going like this with it, you do what's called a leading edge wiping or leading edge cleaning, where you spray the surface down completely and get it soaking wet. And you take the towel and you go like this. And the same edge is always in the forward position. Okay.
Yes.
That picks up 10 times the amount, if not more, than this.
Really?
Yes. You're just pushing it around the surface. Because when you do it by leading edge cleaning like this,
yes,
whatever gets trapped under the leading edge,
mm-hmm,
as the bulk of debris fills that edge, it starts to push it up where there's fresh towel and push it up where there's fresh towel and push it up where there's fresh. So you're constantly, you can wipe down a whole table very easily.
Right.
And the way I've trained my people to do it is first go this way, all right, and then go this way.
Ah.
So that you get as much of it as possible.
Right,
and
right.
And then go around the edges in okay. one direction. And that's how you will do the best job of cleaning or decontaminating a surface.
Right.
It also helps if you use a good quality cleaner. Now, in childcare, they use because it's cheap, they use 2 ounces of bleach to a quart of water in a sprayer as disinfectant.
Yeah, I see that all the time.
But what a lot of these places do is, okay, a kid will sneeze, all right? They'll take the bleaching water, spray it on the table, wipe it up, and spray it again.
Right.
The thing is, yes, that bleaching water will disinfect and kill a lot of the germs that the rag picks up.
Yeah.
But if there's any kind of, saliva or hand lotion or sweat that's dripped onto a surface,
yeah, right,
you need a cleaner to yes. properly remove that. And
yes.
when people I walk in, they're like, oh no, we don't need the surface like yours. We clean 20 times a day with bleach. And I'm like, no, you don't. No, oh no, really, we do. We clean at least 20 times a day with bleach. I said, you don't clean once a day with bleach. They're like, you've never been here before. How can you say that to us? I said, real simple. Bleach is used for two things primarily, okay? Whiten your husband's underwear and as a disinfectant on surfaces. But as a disinfectant on surfaces, it's used horribly incorrectly most of the time. Now, as part of my history, I'm the son of a dermatologist, the skin doctor.
Okay.
And before my father passed in the end of 2015, I had started doing this in 2013. I said to him, Dad, I remember you showing me something about bleach and what it does to the skin. I said, they're using this stuff in childcare centers. I said, how dangerous is it? He goes, well, I'm sure they're using it watered down. He goes, but just the same. He goes, even if you put one drop of bleach in a cup of water, one drop out of an eyedropper,
okay,
it's probably more than enough that if you accidentally drink it, you'll wind up puking all over the place.
Wow.
So there was a situation in a childcare center, I believe it was in Jersey City, New Jersey, back in 2015. Where they hired a new assistant for one of the teachers in one of the rooms.
Right.
This person came in on the day they started, and mid-morning the teacher says, listen, go into the kitchen and take a tray and put some paper cups on it and grab a gallon of water and fill the cups and then bring it out. I'm going to get the cookies ready. So the assistant went and did that, and the teacher's handing out the cookies around the different tables, and the assistant's handing out the water, and the teacher says, okay, let's enjoy snack. Within minutes, there were kids puking all over the place. Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Because a lot of these schools will take a gallon of water and they will put the right amount of bleach into it according to state regulations to make mm-hmm. it disinfectant. But you have to remember to label it. Do not drink contains bleach for disinfection.
Oh, my gosh.
The person who mixed it, which was not the new assistant that was hired, but the person who mixed it forgot to mark it and left it on top of the fridge with other jugs water.
Yes.
And so the problem was They took 27 people to the hospital in Jersey City that day.
Wow.
And as far as I remember reading, the next day the state closed it permanently. Because it's you're poisoning kids. Not that,
yeah.
What they consumed, probably, because most of them consumed a couple of sips.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't enough to kill it. I mean, it could have, maybe, but it didn't kill anybody. But it even made like 7 of the teachers violently ill.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I'm sure by the next morning, most of those kids' parents canceled their contracts and everything, but the state shut them down.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really important. And
well, that's a serious mistake. Oh my goodness.
And the other thing that's a real problem with stuff like that is that just like any other disinfectant, surface must remain visibly wet. And the problem with that in a childcare center is if you have kids come by and they see the table shiny, they put their hand on it.
And they put it on their hand. Yeah, they're going to
get in their eyes or in their nose. I do a presentation where I have a picture of oral mucosa burns from bleach.
Oh.
It looks like some kid was sucking on a soldering iron. The inside of the gums have all of this like bright orangish or brownish staining from where the bleach burnt the skin.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. And that's why when I walk into a child care center, I say, you don't want to use that crap anymore.
No, not at all.
Whatever you buy, don't buy something with bleach in it.
What would you suggest people buy? Like if people are cleaning their homes or their facilities or their businesses, and they don't have you yet to come in their facility to de-germinize the area and kill the germs, what's the best products you suggest that actually do a good job or a cluster? Well,
the three things that, in my opinion, will do the best job, short of hiring us, is...
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.
What if you could have a career where the opportunities are as vast as our nation, where it's not about mission statements, but a shared mission? At U.S. Customs and Border Protection, we go beyond to protect more than borders. From ship to shore, air to ground, cities to local communities, CBP agents and officers are keeping people safe. Join U.S. Customs and Border Protection and go beyond for something far greater than yourself. Learn more at cbp.gov/careers.
Buy good quality cleaning products, a 409 or any of those good brands of cleaning products,
Yes.
Pine Sol is very good when used properly.
Yes. Right.
Then get a good quality disinfectant, preferably one that does not have much of a scent, because if it doesn't have much of a scent, it won't have much of a taste if it accidentally gets in somebody's mouth.
Right.
All right. And use it according to the directions. Now, that means keeping the surface visibly wet with that disinfectant for however many minutes the product tells you to leave it on. That's where they get their 99% or 99.9 or 99.99% kill claim from.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And then if you can find a good quality, non-leaching antimicrobial to put on your surfaces, and I'll tell you what that means in a moment,
mm-hmm.
I would use that as well, okay? And there are multiple different brands out there. Yes, you'll have to do a little reading on the internet to learn. Do not click on the ads. Go to the ones that are evidently researched from different, major corporations or health concerns or health departments.
Right.
The CDC website has what they call List N for disinfectants.
Yeah.
That are effective against pretty much everything, including COVID, okay? And I would recommend you go to the CDC website and look at List N, and it will give you products that they say, yes, this'll kill it. If it's not on that list, I wouldn't use it.
I heard Pine Sol is supposed to be very good with COVID. Is that true?
To be honest with you, we don't use pine salt because I consider that more of a what they call an OTC, over-the-counter or homeowner grade product.
Right, right.
In my research of what I've done, as far as a disinfectant, and one of the ones I really like is a hydrogen peroxide based product.
Okay. Okay.
And the reason I like a hydrogen peroxide based product is because when hydrogen peroxide dries or evaporates, however you want to look at it, it breaks down into two things that will not harm us: oxygen and water.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Whereas when you use other types of disinfectants, including some of the popular brands, and I'm not going to mention them because I don't want to get sued, but a lot of them will leave a residue after they dry.
Yes.
And I'll give you a perfect example. I was in another childcare center on Saturday doing a job, and I noticed that, like, on their Lego and Duplo blocks and some of their like toy trucks and stuff like that, there was this white residue on them. And I know what that is now because from years of seeing it, it's bleach and water residue.
Right.
All right. So, you know, kid puts that in their mouth, maybe it might make them sick. Maybe it won't. I don't know. I've never asked my grandchildren to test it for me.
Right.
So I would say do not use bleach and water unless you're using it in the laundry, okay, mm-hmm. which is where it was designed for. I would get a good quality cleaning solution. I would get a good quality disinfectant. And if you're up for it, an antimicrobial. Oh, and I started to tell you, not a leaching antimicrobial. So there are two basic different types of antimicrobials, leaching and non-leaching. Leaching means when you spray it on a surface and it dries, it's on that surface. But microbes need to consume it, meaning ingest it, and it's a poison and it kills the microbes.
Right.
Okay. The other problem with it is if you put your hand on that surface, because it's leaching because it will not stay on the surface. It'll come up on your fingers, it'll come off on your clothes. Okay. If you have an infant child and they're, you know, putting their open mouth down on the table.
Right.
Because the antimicrobial that we use is non-leaching, meaning when we apply it to a surface, the chemical nature of it bonds to the clean virgin material of the surface with, if you remember your high school chemistry, something called a covalent bond.
Right.
Which means it, in essence, becomes one with the surface and only comes off through long-term friction abrasion, hands rubbing on it, plates rubbing on it, whatever rubbing on it.
Right.
Normally, you cannot take it off with a cleaner unless you use something like soft scrub and a scrubby pad.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll usually take whatever the finished surface is off anyway.
Right.
So you don't use that. Okay. You can pour straight bleach on the coating we use. Won't touch it. Okay. You use 409, Windex, whatever you want. Won't touch it. Okay.
Right.
But it is critically important when you're using a non-leaching antimicrobial to keep those surfaces clean, because if you've knocked over a glass of milk or knocked over juice or somebody had an explosive sneeze on a surface and you just wipe it up, okay, then what happens is you've got something, if you don't clean the surface really well, there's a film that dries. Have you ever noticed when you clean a table or something and you come back in the room a little later and the sun's hitting the table at a certain angle, you can see the white
film.
Marks.
Yes.
Yeah. That in most cases, that's what's called biofilm. All right. And it means it has cells in it that are dry on that surface or maybe not really dry, because cells to replicate need a friendly surface, moisture, warmth, and a food source. Kind of like us.
Right.
If we survive. Okay. So by disinfecting the surface and by putting the antimicrobial on, after you've wiped up whatever is there, and preferably wiped it up with a little cleaner of some kind.
Yeah.
Anything that's left behind is most likely eradicated by the coating.
Okay.
All right. And that, and it will damage any cell so that it cannot replicate.
Okay.
Now, if it is a virus infected cell, here's something to remember about viruses. Viruses do not replicate on their own.
Mm-hmm.
Viruses must get into some other cell that has the ability to replicate.
Okay.
Remember I said every 20 minutes, pop.
Yep.
Okay. So that happens with bacteria cells and other cells all the time. Different cells replicate at different rates, time rates. But if something gets infected with a virus, or if a cell gets, invaded by a virus, that virus is now going to make itself part of that cell so that when that cell replicates and copies itself,
right,
apart, it's taken a piece of the virus coding with it.
Okay.
The code that creates the virus. Therefore, now instead of it just being a bacterial cell or some other cell, it's now a viral cell.
Gotcha.
A virus on its own can't replicate in
okay,
as many cases as I have ever heard of. All right.
Right.
So in that respect, yes, if the virus is in a cell and if you kill the cell, all right, and clean the surface routinely, you won't be allowing a virus to have a whole host of hosts, meaning other cells,
right,
replicate with.
Gotcha.
All right. So basically, when we get done with what we do, you know, it, like I said, it's a once a year service. And when you use the service, you'll see a reduction in infection issues, especially with a high volume location like a childcare center.
Right.
And our clients love the service. I have people who have been renewing year after year for not almost 10 years now. All right. Not everybody renews. Okay. Some people, you know, they do it once, they figure, okay, look, we opened X number of years ago. We had these guys come in that did their thing. We're good for a while. That's what you call wishful thinking. I mean, yes. Are you much safer than you were before we showed up and did what we did? Absolutely.
Right.
But the thing is, our specialty is infection prevention, control, and eradication. Now,
right,
can we help with airborne infections? Yes, we can, but that requires a different situation altogether. That's not so much a service as it is a piece of equipment you need to buy and put in a room that uses ultraviolet wavelength C light to suck all the room air through it, and the special light in there shatters the DNA in cells. So they, you know, it's like hitting a mouse with a double barrel shotgun. There's not much use left. Okay. But no, when we do our service, we can't always prevent an airborne infection from happening.
Right.
And sometimes, you know, like I said, with the gestation period, all right, I had a client who we did their job on a Saturday, and on Tuesday, she calls me. She goes, I'm stopping payment on my check. I said, why? She goes, I have a half a dozen kids with pink eye. Obviously, your stuff doesn't work. And I said, hold on. First of all, and I happen to know this at that point in time, pink eye has a gestation period of between, I believe it's 5 and 9 days, depending.
Right.
We did your place on Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
Yes.
They had to get this at the latest last Friday before we came in to do the service.
Right.
So please realize it has nothing to do with what we did.
Yes.
Okay. And please don't. And she was fine. She was like, fine, let me look that up. If what you say is the same as what I look up, you're good. And we were good.
Right.
Okay. But we also offer a service called urgent response disinfection. It's basically emergency disinfection service for when a client has an outbreak of some kind.
Yes.
And normally we charge $350 per room per visit to do that when it's needed. But if you're a client with your 1 year contract, you get 4 of those at no additional charge to the initial service. So if you know, if at the end of a certain day after we've done the service, a week, a month, 3 months later, whatever it be, all of a sudden you notice you've got 6 kids out in room 4 that all have the flu. You call me up and you say, hey, Erwin, I've got 6 kids out in room 4 with the flu. I need to have you come in and do your disinfection thing.
Yeah.
We will come in that day at the end of business, and we tell them exactly how to prep the room. We come in, we flood that room with terminal disinfectant that pretty much kills anything.
Right.
And an hour after we're gone, it's dissipated and it's ready for use the next morning. And they get 4 of those. We enforce our own warranty. I don't know how many companies go out of their way to enforce their own warranty, but the way we do it is at least 3 to 5 times a year, except through the pandemic, because you weren't allowed to go in anywhere.
Right.
We would come back. I would go back at random times of the day to different clients' places and test with the germ meter.
Right.
And if any room got a failing reading three times in a row, I would tell them, I need to do a warranty respray on this room. In 9+ years, I've never had to do a warranty respray.
Wow, that's very impressive.
You know, I am so happy that I work with the companies I work with to get the products that I get from them to use in our business.
Right.
Interestingly enough, the antimicrobial that we use was developed by a company. I'm not sure if you're of, I don't think you're of the same vintage that I am, but there was a company called Dow Corning many years ago.
Dow Corning.
Which is now Dow Chemical and Corning Optics.
Okay.
They're both together. They're from New York State. And they developed the product we used 54 years ago. Now,
wow.
You remember when the pandemic first started and New York City, the military came in and put those blow up military hospitals in Central Park?
Yes, I remember.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And they used the Javits Convention Center as another facility?
Yes.
So they would clean those. The tents that they used are always put away clean and disinfected, but they would blow them up.
Right.
They would roll in all of the sanitized and disinfected equipment, take the plastic wrapping off of it, put it in place. All right. Then somebody would come in with a backpack sprayer with the same exact product we use and flood the place, all the equipment, the beds, the operating rooms, everything with the antimicrobial coating before they let one person in without a hazmat suit on. Because that way they knew it was an environment that could keep itself
right.
as safe as possible from microbial colonization all over
yes.
the places. So it's amazing that it does what it does. I mean, companies like Nike and Under Armour and Reebok and all those sports equipment and
yes.
clothing companies use this product in the manufacturing of their raw materials to weave their shirts and their shorts and to injection mold their sneakers and to make their laces and all that. You know, if you look at those kinds of products, it'll say, you know, the antimicrobial coating can withstand X number of wash cycles.
Right.
I mean, eventually you do wash it.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the type of thing that companies are starting to use in the manufacturing of clothing products to help keep the frequency of infection as low as possible.
You know, I hear sometimes people say, and it drives me nuts, but they say, well, you know, we don't have to worry so much about little kids because little kids have good immune systems. And they were doing that even with COVID too. They were saying, you know, we don't have to get the shot because, you know, little kids, you know, their immune systems are really good. But then you see these kids getting sick and they're spreading the illness so quickly to one another. And then the adults are getting it very quickly as well.
So this arc represents the human immune system from birth to death. So if there's different levels of how strong it is from birth, your immune system is learning about infections and how to deal with them. In your middle years, it's learned pretty much everything it needs to know, except for new things like COVID and stuff like that. All right. And as you get older, your immune system starts to wear out just like the rest of your body.
Right.
So to say children are so young, children are immune to it was probably initially mentioned because they didn't really know.
Yes.
Including the medical community.
Right.
But in general, the medical community knew young children don't have much of an immune system yet. Yes, if they breastfed or if they got certain types of formula, yeah, they probably got certain things that helped give their immune system a leg up, especially breast milk.
Mm-hmm.
Unless, unfortunately, the child is allergic to it. But the thing being that to say, oh, well, we don't have to worry about children because they're not going to get it, that was just foolish to say that.
Yeah.
You have to always approach any type of a biological threat with mm-hmm. the utmost personal security so that you don't acquire it. And if, God forbid, you do, you minimize how far you can spread it. And one of the things I used to say to people when they say, oh, my bandana is good enough, I'd be like, let me show you why your bandana is not good enough.
Yeah.
All right. And I'd say, take a cigarette, light it, put your mask on and exhale, or put your bandana on and exhale. And
yeah.
you see the cloud come out from underneath and you see the cloud come right out through the fabric.
Right.
Okay. And that's why they were talking about which masks are better than others, because some have the triple layer filtration in them so that, you know, even the smallest of pathogen, you know, even the mist from your nose can't get out of it.
Right.
Okay. And even infections, speaking of the mist from your nose, even infections that are mostly airborne. Okay. Gravity affects everything. Mm-hmm. So yes, when you cough or sneeze and you have something large enough to see it, that it's visible when it came out,
right,
that's going to hit a table relatively quickly because it has mass to it and gravity does its thing. But you can have a sneeze where the microbes remain in the air for hours
because
they're microscopically small and they get carried on the breeze. Eventually they all hit the ground or hit a table or whatever.
Right.
But people say, oh, well, we don't need a service like yours because the big thing now is all airborne. No, it's not all airborne.
Right.
All right. And if a kid sneezes, achoo, like that.
Yeah.
It's all over that table.
Right.
You know, so you get, it's just, it's common sense. And like I said, you know, can people get horribly ill or die from new vaccines? Absolutely. It does happen. Okay. But remember, we're trying to do what's good for the masses, to protect the masses. And unfortunately, sometimes people develop sensitivities to medications. I mean, look at all the drugs that are marketed on television.
Yes,
and they'll
yes.
tell you, oh, and don't use if you are allergic to the product or any of the ingredients in the product.
Right.
Okay. I remember, as a woman, I'm sure you've heard of the term in cosmetics, especially of hypoallergenic.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I remember when that term first came on the scene. And we were sitting at dinner one time at home and I said, Dad, does hypoallergenic really mean that nobody will have a reaction to it? He goes, no, what it means is it's actually been formulated to a point where a minimum number of people have any kind of reaction to it. Mm-hmm. Some may still have a strong reaction or severe reaction, but most people, if they have anything, it'll be minimal, if even noticeable.
Right.
But so hypoallergenic is a very misleading term.
Yes.
You just have to be smart about it. You know, look, we're going into winter and people think, oh, we're going into cold and flu season. Realistically, cold and flu season is 12 months a year.
Yes, that's okay? True.
Some people, oh, I got the summer flu. It's not the summer, it's flu. Okay? It's real simple, it's flu. But the reason we normally think of cold and flu season being in the late fall to early spring, especially with the winter, with people being inside, being so close to each other. And one person, you know, one person goes to the arcade and touches all the buttons and puts their fingers in their mouth and they come home and 2 days later they have God knows what, and they're spreading it to their family and they're spreading it to their fellow students because, you know, it's December out, everybody's freezing their tail off and everybody's playing games inside on the classroom floor.
Right.
So it's real simple. If either COVID or something else or flu and cold start to rear their ugly heads, some of the things we learned in the pandemic apply to the most minuscule type of infection.
Okay.
Keep your distance, wash your hands like a lunatic,
mm-hmm.
okay? Use soap.
Right.
Sing the ABCs twice, okay?
Yes.
And rinse them well and dry them well. As a matter of fact, speaking of hand washing, I provide a free course to my clients every year, once a year, on proper hand washing technique. And it's a compilation of how surgeons prepare their hands for surgery because they don't want to transmit anything or, right. you know, anybody. So we go in, we teach that, and we teach it with a special solution. It's called Glow Germ. And what that means is you remember as a kid, you had maybe some of those posters that you put a black light on in your room and they'd have the day glow colors on them.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so this stuff creates like a green color, but you can't see it in regular light, only in black light. So what I do is I take a couple of toys and I spray them with the stuff, I let it dry. I put them on the table, I have teachers come in and I have them pass the toys around. And then I say, okay, I turn the little black light on and I go around the room. And I show them, they all have these blotches of the screen. They're like, what is that? I said, those were the germs that were all over the toys. And don't worry, they're not real germs. And so they're like, oh, wow. I said, so look, now we're going to do a different experiment. I take the liquid material and I squirt it in their hand, just like hand lotion. I have them rub it all around their hands and I turn the light on. They're like, ah, it's like they glow green, their hands. So I say, okay, now, before I show you any of the tricks, go in the bathroom, wash your hands, dry your hands, and come back out. And I usually send two or three of them in.
They
come out. And I put the light on their hands again. And
I'm Victoria Cash, and I want to invite you to a place called Lucky Land, where you can play over 100 social casino style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. So what are you waiting for? The best way to discover your luck is to spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com. That's LuckyLandSlots.com, and get lucky today at Lucky Land.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
What if you could have a career where the opportunities are as vast as our nation, where it's not about mission statements, but a shared mission? At U.S. Customs and Border Protection, we go beyond to protect more than borders. From ship to shore, air to ground, cities to local communities, CBP agents and officers are keeping people safe. Join U.S. Customs and Border Protection and go beyond for something far greater than yourself. Learn more at cbp.gov/careers.
There's like 90% less of the glow germ on your hands, but it's all in
their nails,
in the nail beds, in the knuckle wrinkles, between the fingers, and a lot of it winds up here.
Oh, really?
You can wash their hands and they're not going like this.
Yeah.
Just don't forget, a lot of times you're resting your hand on the edge of a table or something.
Yes.
Okay. So then I show them two or three little moves that they don't need anything but soap to use. All right. The different ways of moving your hands and this and that and the next thing, and make sure you go up here.
Right.
Then I send them back to the bathroom. Wash your hands again with what I just showed you. And they come out and there's nothing left. And I give them, each of them, a certificate, which I am told, I have not checked with the state on this, but I am told are good for 2 credit hours per teacher for continuing ed credits in the state of New Jersey.
Oh, wow. So that's very good.
Yeah. So I believe in education. As a matter of fact, I even make the childcare infection control technicians training course available to my clients through the same company that I got it from. And, you know, like when you go to the salon, or if a guy goes to the barbershop, you see the state license for that stylist on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
So I tell them, I said, look, besides me giving you all the signage and all the brochures for being a certified healthy child zone program protected school, if your teachers take this course, and I'll get it for you at a discounted price, I said, now on one of your cork boards near the entry, you put these all up and say, our teachers are certified in proper hand washing technique to be taught to your children, especially since this damn pandemic.
Yes.
If parents see that you're a certified healthy child zone program protected school, if they see that you're making sure your teachers are trained properly, if they're seeing that the teachers are training the students in proper hand washing technique, that means a lot to the parents. And I'll tell you a quick funny story, then I'll answer whatever other questions you want until time runs out, I guess. I have this school in Montclair, New Jersey, called Over the Rainbow, and it's a beautiful school. It's on a small, well, not small, it's on a large piece of property. It's a giant old center hall colonial house, and the woman who owns it is one of my first clients. And I remember I did the training course for them a couple of years ago, and now we've been doing it every year. But back then, some mother brought her child one morning and said, listen, we're going away for the weekend, so I'm going to pick up little Johnny or Betty or whatever the kid's name was. I'm going to pick them up around noon, okay? Fine, no problem. Mother shows up. The owner of the school is right there, lets her in. Oh, let me go get little Johnny. He's out in the playground. She brings little Johnny in. She brings him into the bathroom, puts him up on her knee so he can wash his hands. And he's washing his hands the way I trained the teacher to train them.
Right.
And after like 30 seconds, the owner of the school goes, come on, Johnny, mommy's waiting. Dry your hands. And he turns to her and goes, Miss Lorraine, please don't rush me. I have to wash my hands properly.
Oh.
And the mother goes, what's all that about? And she told her, and she goes, I am so happy my son goes here.
Yeah.
So
well, that's very refreshing.
You know, education is critically important about everything in life today.
Yes, it is.
About what to consider real information and what to consider pie in the sky craziness.
Yes.
Okay. How to take care of yourself properly.
Yeah.
How to be decent to people properly.
Yes.
And how it's important to go to work and make a living so you can afford the life you want properly.
Right. Exactly.
But when it comes back to what I do, what else can I share with you?
No, I think we covered everything. You know, the only thing that came to my mind is, what about monkeypox? That's a new virus that just came through and people don't know a lot about it, but it's very scary to many. And does your services do anything that helps prevent or lessen the chances?
As you remember, there are a couple of things I've said during our talk. First of all, you get sick most of the time by touching contaminated surfaces and touching yourself.
Right.
So monkeypox is a form of the chickenpox virus.
Yes.
Okay. So our product, one of the products we use, are effective against, I believe it's called Pox genus vaccinorus, if I remember that I'm pronouncing it correctly. I'm probably wrong. So if anybody's watching, just go look it up. But anyway. Monkeypox, the biggest spread about monkeypox, you're saying, is through the homosexual community, through sex and close bodily contact, skin to skin. It doesn't necessarily have to be intercourse, but all right. But what happens is that infection creates these pustules all over the skin.
Right.
And basically, just like a zit, if you pop it and you get the stuff from the zit on your finger and you touch a table,
gotcha. Right,
you get monkeypox, or you lean on something and one bursts and it weeps through your t-shirt onto a surface and somebody gets it.
Yes.
And they introduce it to their body. That's a problem. Our service, okay, the way we do it, we have been told will be effective against surface contamination spread of monkeypox.
Gotcha.
But it's like anything else, okay? I mean, ever since the pandemic, the State Department of Health and Human Services, Family Services for Child Care Centers has said you must clean a surface or an object as soon as you see it's contaminated.
Right.
So if little Susie has an explosive sneeze on the table, you're to deal with it right now.
Right.
That means clean it very, very well, disinfect it very, very well. Okay. And take her and put her in another room where there you are, either no other children or other sick children. Okay.
Right.
Best thing to do is to send that child home. All right. But basically, if you go after, whether it's a little bit of pus or whatever you want to call it that comes out of a monkeypox pustule, all right, you know, gloves, absolutely gloves. Wipe it off, spray it with cleaner, wipe it off, spray it with cleaner, wipe it off, spray it with disinfectant, and don't let anybody go near it till it's dry.
And I have one more question before we go.
You can have 10 more questions. I'm really enjoying this. This
okay. So cross-contamination of food occurs all the time. And I was a victim of it and I got norovirus from it. Now, when people cook, you know, sometimes you're using the same utensils, you take the chicken out, you wash the chicken, but the chicken, the juices sometimes fall on the counter. People don't realize it, or it's still on their hands. And, you know, you know, you find people can get sick so easily, you know, even after they finish the meal and they cleaned everything up. You know, what's your suggestion to help people so they don't get sick and they don't get cross contamination, or the next person comes in to make a meal doesn't pick up any viruses or any germs or any, you know, salmonella from the chicken and so forth?
Chicken, beef, any raw food product, okay, including vegetables.
Okay.
Vegetables, of course, first you wash and you dry, and no matter what you do, if you took whatever vegetables you're going to use for dinner out and put them in a bowl or put them on a plate so you had them right next to the sink to where, and you washed them, Don't dry them and put them back on the same plate or in the same bowl.
Okay. Because
anything that was on them is on the surface of that material of that bowl. Okay.
Gotcha.
And all you're doing is recontaminating.
Gotcha. Right.
When I first got into this business in 2013 and started to learn, and I learned, you know, I always knew that salmonella came from chicken.
Right.
But, you know, you see the chicken go and get cooked on the grill or cooked in the oven. You know, when it's cooked in the oven, it usually stays in the hot pan and is put on some trivets or something. But when you cook it on the grill, you know, you take it out there, you fork each piece off the plate onto the grill. And a lot of people fork each piece from the grill back onto the plate.
Yes.
And that's where the recontamination happens. So after I learned about this, my significant other and I were cooking chicken one night for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And she was actually cooking it. And I watched her. And she knew what I did for a living at this point. I watched her cook the chicken and put it back on the plate and bring it in. And she goes to put a piece on my plate and a piece on her plate. I said, wait a minute, let me see that. And I took the plate back outside and I put the sides of the chicken that had contacted the plate back on the grill, brought the plate in, rinsed it off, put it in the dishwasher, washed my hands, took two paper plates so they'd be a little stronger.
Right.
And in the time that it took me to do that and go back out there, I'm sure the open flame of the grill killed whatever was on the chicken.
Yeah.
And brought it back on essentially a sterile plate compared to one that had chicken drippings on it.
Right.
And she's like, what did you do that for? I said, because even though you rinsed the chicken off before you put it on the plate to take it to the grill, there were still plenty of salmonella cells potentially on that chicken, which
right.
were now on that plate, which even though you cooked the chicken to the right temperature and made sure it was safe, once you put it back on the plate, you laid it back into those juices, which very well may have had salmonella.
Yeah.
And that's how people get sick with salmonella. I mean, most people don't eat raw chicken.
Right.
It's not as far as I've seen. whether it's that, whether it's hamburger, especially
yeah.
hamburger, hot dogs, steak, you know, veal, whatever. Make the plate that you bring it away from the cooking device, whether it be the oven or the grill.
Yeah.
Make the plate that you use to put the cooked food on, make sure it's a clean plate or a new disposable plate.
Right.
And there have been times, you know, where we've had like a big holiday dinner and I'll cook a variety of different meats and chicken and stuff like that. And, you know, I'll bring in the first batch. I don't cook all of it because, you know, you don't want to go to waste.
Yeah.
And what I'll do is I'll take the serving platter, wash it down, spray it with some soap, wipe it down, rinse it off and dry it to go cook the next batch.
Right.
And bring it in on the clean platter rather than the other one.
Because so many people, I don't think, realize that sometimes they think, well, it wasn't cooked enough. It's not that. It could be just put back with a contaminated plate or contaminated
exactly.
bowl. And
exactly.
that's the reason why they're getting sick.
And just to give you an idea, if you took a little regular little eyedropper, okay, and you rinsed the chicken and you put it on a plate and it was going to be a few minutes before you were going to go cook it, and the water and other material that's on that chicken gets on the plate, if you were to suck that up with just a regular eyedropper,
yeah,
and put two or three drops on 10 people's tongues, you'd probably get easily seven of them sick.
Right.
So the problem is germs are too small to be seen. Germs are out of sight, out of mind.
Yes.
Okay. And just as people, we need to be significantly more cognizant
yes.
of what we're doing. Okay. I mean, not that I still do it to this day. I keep a nice sized pump bottle of disinfectant in the door pocket of my car
yeah.
whenever I come out of a place. But I usually carry like the little tiny squeeze bottles in my pocket. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if I go into a client's place and, you know, even if it's just a fist bump on the way out the door, it's squirt,
yeah.
you know, all of this. Or if I'm going, even if I'm going into a childcare center today, I will still wear surgical gloves.
Now, one question, like when there was a lot of recalls when they had the sanitation lotions for your hands, a lot of them got recalled because everybody started making them because they wanted to make a fast buck. But it has to have certain ingredients, a certain amount of percentage of certain things in order for it to be effective. Can you tell the audience what they need?
A lot of the hand sanitizers that were out there back in, I think it was 2017, the CDC, it was the EPA and the FDA, more the FDA, that banned numerous products out there that could no longer be sold because they included a ingredient called triclosan.
Okay.
And a lot of these products were marketed as, you know, better than hand washing, kills germs instantly, kills everything, blah, blah, blah. And it turned out that triclosan, even though it had been in products for decades, turned out to not work really as great as or anywhere near what they claimed it did.
Okay.
So the FDA considered that a health hazard through false advertising. And then it therefore put out a list that said, you know, your products that have these in it, you have to reformulate them and you cannot sell them anymore effective Friday or whatever day.
Right.
Child care centers, you know, it's not really a get rich quick business. It's a real calling. Some people open child care centers just to build a business and make a living. Okay. Right. But a lot of these places are they love the fact that places like Costco exist because they can go buy, you know, 20 packs of paper towels for less than you can buy them in the supermarket for.
Right.
You know, or instead of paying whatever bleach costs per gallon in the supermarket, they get it for 2/3 of that price if they buy a 3-pack at Costco or whatever other warehouse.
Yeah.
All right. So they love those places. And a lot of them had, you know, cartons of hand sanitizer.
Yes, they did.
They couldn't use anymore. And they just had to basically throw them out. The other thing they had to throw out was a few years ago, the EPA, I think it was, banned certain manufactured bleach products from China because they weren't nearly as pure as they were supposed to be.
Oh, wow.
And so the state of New Jersey, if I recall correctly, the state of New Jersey posted something that said, you are no longer allowed to use any Chinese-made bleach.
Wow.
Right. So, I mean, one of my clients I knew must have had 25 gallons of bleach in the basement. And
just had to get rid of it.
Well, the problem is you're talking about a dangerous chemical.
Yeah.
It's not like you can just pour it down the drain.
Oh, that's true. Very true.
All right.
Yes.
A lot of times you have to take it, like the town, recycling center in many towns has like maybe once or twice a month, you know, collection of, you know, half empty paint cans or paint thinner or pesticide or whatever.
Right.
And you can bring it to them and they put it in a special container and they ship it to somebody who neutralizes it or whatever.
Right.
You know, I mean, even today, even with something like medications, if, you know, an elder family member passes away and they were on a lot of medications, people just used so their kids wouldn't get to them or other people wouldn't get, they just take them and flush them down the toilet.
Right.
You can't do that anymore.
No.
Because that stuff all goes into the waterway systems.
Yes, it does.
All right. And actually, there was an article I read a couple of years ago, which was very interesting, about people dumping, you know, unneeded drugs anymore, especially things like antibiotics.
Yes.
Down the toilet and flushing them. Well, down the toilet and flushed goes down to the township water recycling, the water waste center, where they treat all that stuff.
Yes.
So that it can be released into the waterways as not even gray water, just clean water.
Yeah.
But the problem with that, what that was creating was all those antibiotics. Yes, we're killing a lot of bacteria in the flushed water. But things like MRSA, vancomycin-resistant enterococcus.
Yes.
All of those different superbugs.
Yes.
Were created by doctors without them knowing, Because for years, your mother might take you to the doctor. Well, she's obviously got something. I don't know if it's viral or bacterial, but I'm going to put you on an antibiotic just to be safe.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. And we consumed oodles and oodles and oodles of antibiotics.
Yes.
And what happens is, just as we adapt to different things that we come into contact with, so do those little cells. Mm-hmm. And that's why MRSA, which is methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, was created from just Staphylococcus aureus.
Right.
Because eventually some of it started to be able to resist the killing capability of antibiotics.
Wow.
And more are coming.
Yeah. I don't doubt
it. The fact that we only saw this pandemic 100 and something years after the last one.
Yes.
It's not going to take 50 years for the next one.
No, I agree with you.
It might even only take a few years for the next one.
Yeah.
And I read an alert this morning about some other infection that's starting to move from country to country. But then I saw we had to schedule this time, so I'll go back when we're done. But I have thoroughly enjoyed sharing my time with you this morning.
Same here.
If you want to do follow-ups, I'm more.
I would love to do that.
Follow-ups.
Yes, definitely.
And you know, I mean, if you ever want to call just for some information, I'm happy to answer all your questions, my dear.
Thank you so much. And for the public, can you just tell them where they can contact you, your website, your phone number, everything that, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of people, especially in the tri-state area in New Jersey, that are very interested in this because this could help a lot of people. So give us your contact information and let everybody know where they can find you.
Okay. So my name again is Erwin Strohmeyer. I am the owner of Sterile Space Infection Defense, also lovingly known as The Germ Police. We're located in West Orange, New Jersey. The phone number is 973-714-8288. You can also look us up at our website at www.sterilespace.com. You can find us on Facebook and LinkedIn and Instagram as well. We work 7 days a week. Depending on the type of job that is, because if we're doing a full decon and spray job, that's usually on weekends when nobody is in the building. Okay. But we offer a variety of services from residential to commercial. We can do vehicles as well as standalone buildings and homes, as I just said. We offer a lot of information on our website. We do a blog that has tons of information on it. There are video testimonials from a number of clients on our website, which will give you a good idea of what we do. But if you really want to see something amazing, go to our website at www.sterilespace.com and watch the homepage video. It is something you've never seen before. It shows us in action, and it really will open your eyes.
Erwin, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for giving us all this valuable information. And I, you know, I am so glad that you came on and explained everything so thoroughly. And I'm looking forward to having you on the show again. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. It was an absolute pleasure. And it's, I got to say, the most enjoyable interview I've had in 9 years.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. I appreciate that compliment.
You're very welcome, my dear. Talk to you soon.
Yes. Talk to you soon.
Hey there, it is Ryan Seacrest with you. Do you want to make this summer unforgettable? Join me at Chumba Casino. It's this summer's hottest online destination. They are rolling out the red carpet with an amazing welcome offer just for you. So don't wait. Dive in now and play hundreds of social casino games for free. Your chance to redeem real prizes is just a spin away. Care to join me?
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Every day, we rise, challenging ourselves to work for what we believe in. At U.S. Border Patrol, protecting our borders is more than a job. It's a calling. Agents answer the call, working together to keep our country and communities safe. If you are ready for a new mission, join U.S. Border Patrol and go beyond. Learn more at cbp.gov/careers.